Hi, AfterBuzzers. You're tuning in to the Outlander After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, and good evening. Welcome to the Outlander After Show. We are currently reviewing, recapping the episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
We're already there.
I know.
La Dame Blanche, a.k.a. the White Lady. I actually get to say the White Lady and nobody looks at me weird. It's awesome. All right. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And here's my lovely co-host.
I am Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter at MLE Beth and on Instagram at OMG It's MLE.
Okay. So, first thoughts.
Okay. So, this episode, at first, I wrote down anxiety. Because we went through the whole poisoning scene of Claire and the baby. And then I wrote down heartbreak.
Yeah.
Because of, I think, everything that followed. So I think this episode, I would sum it up in like a roller coaster of emotions. Mm-hmm. Like, so many things happened. Like, there were defining moments for characters, mm-hmm. like, throughout the whole episode. So, you know, we have a lot to talk about.
We do. First thing I thought was like, oh, Mary, no, not Mary, because I'm just, it was sad. I know bad things are going to happen to Mary. I just wasn't expecting it to happen this episode. I also wasn't expecting another rape scene.
I know.
You know, 4 episodes in after season 1. So that, and then just with kind of my reaction to the comp playing a bigger part was kind of like, oh, can we not do the comp? Like, can we just get rid of him as quickly as possible?
Yeah.
That would be great. But then I also had a lot of, like, fun watching the very last scene with Murtaugh and Jamie, like, just battling it out. So that was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, and I thought it went back to their kind of, like, Scottish roots.
Yes.
You know how we were saying last week when we were talking about the episodes about how in Scotland, that's how they deal with those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, let's just take out the sword, like, stab who's ever coming at us, mm-hmm. you know. And obviously in France, we talked about the differences, how it's more kind of, like, deceiving. And, you know, you even had Prince Charles on the side going, oh, poor Jamie has to deal with these people, you know.
Yes.
And it's like, in reality, that's what he's used to.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that scene was definitely kind of fun. And I felt like added a little comedic, I guess, you know, we needed that comedy for the episode
mm-hmm,
because of
mm-hmm.
what happened to Mary. And, you know, that was a really hard scene to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think moving forward, it's going to obviously now affect who she ends up with.
Mm.
We found out in the episode that she was talking to, I think it was Alex Randall.
Mm-hmm.
And now when people walk in, they think he's the one that was attacking her. So obviously, I don't know if that's down at the end of our show today when we do predictions.
but
you know, I wonder how that's going to kind of play out.
Well, I always had the feeling that she was going to originally end up with Alex because, I don't know, maybe I was crazy, but I noticed, I guess maybe they didn't have a scene together, but I thought there was some flirtation between her and Alex.
There was, in the red dress when she
was in the red dress.
And that's in that episode, yeah.
So I assumed that Alex was going to have interest in her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how she was going to break away from the person she was engaged to. And then I figured Jack, being the bastard he is, was going to come in and just, like, take her anyway. So, but just before we jump into, like, what happens to Mary and her whole thing, as always, please, please, please subscribe, rate, comment on YouTube. We were very active.
Yeah, definitely.
It was
so fun reading. It was so fun. Hi, reading the comments that you guys posted and, you know, just helping us out with, you know, your comments and your thoughts. And that was awesome. And please continue to do that because it's so fun to chat with you guys on YouTube and iTunes and everything. So that was fun.
The destination for TV
superfan.
We're having
a little technical difficulties. all right. There we go. Yes, as always. And also even on Twitter, not really Instagram, like don't put random comments on my Instagram pictures, but like on Twitter, if you have an opinion, preferably positive, but if not, we're more than welcome to.
You're tuning into the.
Happy to listen to him. What's going on? Like we're more than happy to listen to him. I can't say we will always respond, but we do read everything that you write to us. So, and we encourage it and we enjoy it as well, the good and the bad.
Yes.
And on that note. Okay, on that note, so the first, the introduction, the reintroduction of Comte, this episode with him and the illusion of like him buying poison from Master Raymond, kind of like finally comes to fruition when we see poor Claire.
Yeah.
Drinking wine and pregnant.
I know. You know, that's something that's happened a lot this season. And I have to keep telling myself, okay, it's a different time. And even from Claire's time being in the 1940s, it's still, you know.
Well, if you think about it, like, the whole idea of not drinking while pregnant didn't become solidified really into the 1980s. Right. So women were still drinking while pregnant and smoking while pregnant often until the late 70s, 1980s. So it's been only the past 40 years that women have stopped doing that. So, or, you know, now it's like frowned upon.
Right.
So yeah, it was a bit shocking to see her do it, but I was also like, what? Oh yeah, I had to kind of like,
you have to keep reminding yourself.
This is kind of the thing. And even it's Europe. Even in Europe, like after you have a baby, they give you a Guinness in Ireland. So like here.
Nice.
For the baby, for your health.
Yeah. Yeah.
So seeing her drink the wine was a bit of a shock. But what was even more of a shock was seeing that he actually poisoned a pregnant woman.
Like and it shows that he will go to any lengths to get this revenge on Claire. And that's something that watching this episode and looking back at our last week's show, that's something we said. We were like, he's a snake.
Yeah.
And he's going to find a way to attack. And you're not going to know, like, was that him? Was it not him?
Yeah.
But you kind of know in the back of your mind, like, that was him trying to get back at me. And I think it's setting up. We had, obviously, last season, Blackjack Randall was the big, you know, enemy for them. And I feel like, obviously, Blackjack Randall now is being reintroduced, and he's going to still be that same enemy. But I think the Comte, or Saint Germain, as we can refer to him, is going to also be this kind of, like, big enemy that's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
I don't see him going away anytime soon. I think this is going to be a long, drawn-out thing for Claire and Jamie.
I know. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, like, it is.
Because I know Blackjack Randall is on his way back. Like, you just know it, especially with everything that's happening with Mary. You know that he's on his way. But with that said, with Claire being poisoned and, well, almost poisoned, because Comte, I believe, he thinks it's an actual poison that will kill her. And thankfully, Master Raymond is not about that life. And he's like, no, I'm just going to give you, like, it makes you feel sick for a little bit. So kudos to him for just, like, having boundaries on what he is willing and willing not to do, you know?
Right.
And then also still being a scoundrel that sells, like, pig's blood to people.
I know.
but with that, on that note, that leads to Claire taking bed rest. The baby's okay. She's okay. But when they were discussing during the chess game, like, how to get Prince Charles to make a fool of himself in front of Sandringham. Am I say that right?
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm not saying it right. It comes up that they want to, that he wants to invite Sandringham to a dinner. And it's from there that Claire finally admits to him that Captain Jack is alive and well-ish.
Yes.
Hopefully not well.
Hopefully not, like, too good, but
crippled a little bit. Or, you know, like, miserable, disfigured. I hate Captain Jack. But, like, and Jamie's response was, like, so happy.
I know. I have to admit, I was very shocked at that response.
Yeah.
I thought, like, I knew it was coming the way Claire said, you know, I have something to tell you. And I'm like, nobody knock on the door, nobody interrupt, because I've been waiting for this to happen. Like, it needs to come out, right? And when she told him, I expected there to be some big, like, blow up for them to fight, for him to be upset for not telling her. But instead, it was the complete opposite. He said to her, you know, he was afraid that Blackjack Randall died and I missed it, is what he said. And then he said, you've given me something to look forward to, which at first I was like, all right, Jamie, like, way to not be upset and way to take it in a good way. But then I thought, okay, that's really unhealthy too, obviously, because now he's going to have this kind of weird obsession.
I don't know, man. That sweet, sweet vengeance feels so good. I mean, I'm not, I've never killed anyone, but I have gotten sweet, sweet vengeance on someone before.
Yeah.
And, like, when it's a long con, when you're, like, you've been waiting for it and it finally happens, it feels so, so good.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of, like, done with it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I got it. Bye. So yeah. I mean, it's not, no. I'm sure my therapist would be like, Adrienne, that was really unhealthy.
It's not the way it was to years talk ago, about it.
So it's okay.
Yeah.
But, and I'm sure any therapist talking to Jamie would be like, this is really unhealthy.
Yeah.
But
no,
who doesn't like a little old school vengeance every right. now and then? You know?
And I totally get it. And I'm totally rooting for him to have that happen. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like, the way the season's gone and the way the show is set up, that's not going to happen. You know, I don't think he's going to just kind of walk in and be like, oh, nice to see you die, Captain Jack. And then he's going to go live his life. You know, I think it's going to be something that's going to plague him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm happy that he wasn't taking it out, you know, not upset at Claire, but still kind of worried about it. And I like also that kind of like comedic like interjection there when Claire said to Murtaugh, you know, and Murtaugh's like, Jamie's in such a great mood today. Yeah. And Claire's like, well, I told him about Captain Blackjack, and I don't know what you were so worried about.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That was kind of funny because they were both in on not telling him because of what would happen. So
it was good to see that he took it so well. And then also, of course, it's not going to go the way that he anticipates it going.
Right.
I don't think any experience they've ever had with Captain Jack has gone the way they want it to go.
Right.
Ever. That's something, as I think, as audience members to look forward to as well, watching it just be like, oof, and fall apart. But on that note as well, that leads Jamie to go to, well, he goes to the brothel every night to talk to Prince Charles.
Ugh, don't get me started on this scene.
And,
I know what you're talking about.
Soissonneuf.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Like, the moment I heard that, I was like, I don't remember a lot of French. But I remember that one because people would make fun of it in high school all the time. I did kind of say, like, there's a possibility that he might be a little unfaithful just because of, like, feeling like he couldn't connect to his wife and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it was a bit of a shock to see that, like, a woman got very, very close to...
I know. I know. Well, and the whole time I was watching that scene, I honestly was laughing at it, and I was in my head going, okay, I'm waiting for the moment when he says, oh, it's not what you think because it was this and this and this happened, and it wasn't even close to him cheating. Like, I was waiting for that the whole time because I'm like, Jamie and Claire, their relationship is like, you know, goals, right? It's like what we look at and we're like, oh my God, they have such this great relationship, and I don't think of Jamie as being somebody that would cheat. So the whole scene, I was just waiting for that drop to be like, oh, see, he was just, you know, it was an accident, whatever, you know?
It was kind of an accident, but it was also kind of, I will say this about how they've been dealing with, and it'll be interesting to see how they deal with Mary's rape storyline, but with Jamie's rape storyline, just the whole idea of, like, recovering from it and not feeling sexual and feeling alone. That's something that people don't really touch on when it comes to, like, how a survivor recovers from rape and not feeling in control of your own sexuality. So when it got to that point, when he was talking about, like, well, I felt lust again and I haven't felt it in a long time. And she was like, well,
It wasn't with me.
And he's like, well, no, it was because of you.
Right.
And he probably got a little too, like, lusty with the chick. But I also could understand, like, where he was coming from. Mm-hmm. When they actually, because they were playing it for comedy for a bit. And then when he actually just said, like, I feel alone. And I haven't been able to connect with anyone. And all I've wanted to do is connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
But just, like, all that whole monologue about how, like, there's a part of you that's, like, locked away. And deep down, I was like,
Yeah,
you're right. There's a part of you that's, like, locked away and deep down.
Right.
Like, to have that violated. It was great to see just him really talk about, like, what it's like to find your own desire and sexuality again after trauma.
Right.
And for Claire to respond positively to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, I hate to say this, but I feel like if it were gender reversed, we would never get to see this happen.
Right.
You know, this conversation would be... On television.
Right, probably not. And I feel like a lot of times the man is kind of put in this light of, like, having to have this kind of, like, pride. Like, how dare you look at, just do something with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. After kind of the shock of me going, oh my God, Jamie almost cheated? Like, yeah. What? You know, and feeling like, no, Jamie, don't do this, you know? After hearing his explanation, and it's like, you know, he's going through his own experiences and trying to overcome this, just like Claire is. You know, they're both trying to work through this very unfortunate situation. And to see Claire kind of come around and show him her disappointment, you know, and her being able to get her feelings out, which I liked for her character, like being able to say, like, hey, I'm not okay with this. Like, I understand where you're coming from. I'm not okay with this. And then for her to come around and find him where he was sleeping on his own and make him not sleep on his own, you know, right? Like,
just breaking all the rules of television. I know. Pregnant women having sex, showing pregnant women having sex.
I know.
Yeah. Yes, ladies, after your first trimester, you can have sex. So like, just breaking it down. Like, yes, Outlander, thank you for showing things that most television doesn't want to show or talk about.
Right, right.
So it was great to see them reconnect in that way. Mm-hmm. And then they are rudely interrupted by the most annoying person in the world, Prince Charles. I mean, not our Prince Charles. I mean, he's kind of weird. But, yeah, this Prince Charles.
This Prince Charles, yeah. And that was such a funny scene, too. You know, like, when he kind of comes in, he doesn't have his normal, like, wig on, you know? So I didn't really recognize him at first.
At first, I thought he might be the king, and I was like, what's happening?
But it was so, and this show, one thing I love about it is that it constantly keeps you on your toes, mm-hmm. right? Whenever you think you have it figured out, it's like, oh, wait, nope, here's another twist you didn't think about.
Yeah.
And just like how we saw Luis is involved with Prince Charles, and as soon as he gets this bite and Claire starts putting the pieces together, I'm like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't wait for when this all comes out. And that was a twist that I did not see coming.
Yeah. So just to jump into Louise, we see with Louise's storyline that she is, she's taken a lover. Mm-hmm. We don't know who it is at first. Turns out to be Prince Charles. And I thought her husband was going to be like ancient. And then I see her husband and I was like,
I thought too. I know. I was like, I don't, what you know,
is it, what's he wrong?
seems all right to me.
Maybe they're just raunch, but like, gotta have my 5 to 7. But so she's pregnant, mm-hmm. and another just such groundbreaking television. Watching two women discuss the possibility of terminating a mm-hmm. pregnancy, and to also stress that it was a time where it wasn't so much illegal as just wasn't thought of,
right,
and incredibly difficult to do without. Mm-hmm. killing yourself.
Right.
So just having that discussion as well was really great to see. And then also just Claire being really honest and be like, well, do you want the child? Mm-hmm. And Louise being like, well, of course I want the child. It's my lover's child. But mm-hmm. that child is like royalty. So you can't, well, it's a different time. Never mind.
Yeah.
You can be a bastard and like never ascend the throne. But just with the whole idea of the foreshadowing
mm-hmm.
of
100%.
Her talking about, you know, how can I have mm-hmm. my husband raise another man's child?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like, oh my God.
Yeah. During that scene, there were a couple things I thought about that you just touched on. Mm-hmm. One was like, how great is it to kind of see this honest conversation, mm-hmm. right? And not this shaming conversation.
Exactly.
More of like, let's just talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, I keep saying that. I like so many things about the show. But about Claire's character is she's unwavering.
Yeah.
In all of these kinds of like adverse, you know, and she's unwavering in adversity, I think, you know, when it comes to talks about abortion that she's having with Louise, when it comes to talk about rape that she's had with Jamie, that she's going to have with Mary, mm-hmm. you know, her character is very just kind of like strong and mm-hmm. taking situations head on, which I like. And then also the foreshadowing that you mentioned mm-hmm. of when Louise said, how am I supposed to raise a child with a man who is not the father?
Yeah.
And Claire said, all that matters is the child is brought up with love. And for the audience, we're like, oh my God, that's what's going to happen because we've already seen in episode 1. But of course, her character at this point doesn't know that's going to happen.
She gets the clue when
from
she throws
Master
the bones.
Raymond. I know. That was crazy. And there was so much that happened in that scene too that, you know, kind of like how Galus knew that that Claire was kind of from like another
time.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Master Raymond is kind of that character in this season because he said to her, you know, she's looking at like the bones or the sculptures.
The dinosaur.
Yeah. And he says to her, he goes, I'm fascinated by things not of this time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, Claire's not of this time, you know? And he said...
And he looked at her pretty pointedly when
yeah,
he said
it. Yeah, he's kind of like, I see you, Claire, you know? But yeah, with the bones, how she threw them down, and it said that she would see him again.
Yeah.
She would see Frank again.
Yeah. He's like, well, I can't predict his future, but you will. He's fine. You'll see him again. Yeah. And just her face. I mean, I totally understand her not being gleeful, but just kind of being like,
yeah,
that's the kind of the last thing I want right now.
You know? Right.
Just love this show. It's just so yummy.
I know.
Just so yummy. All the stuff that's like being thrown up in the air and like,
yeah,
such wonderful writing. But yeah. With that, we lead to once they've discovered that Prince Charles is the lover of Louise, Claire, of all people, is like, well, we have to use this to our advantage, and we have to bring it up. And Jamie is right there with her, being like, yes, we do have to do this. We have to bring it up.
Yeah.
She's like, does this make us bad people? And or what it was, Jamie said something said, she said, does it make us bad people? And then Jamie said, it's okay to do a bad thing for a good cause. And she's like, that's what bad people say.
That's what bad people say. Like, yeah,
that's
exactly.
What bad people say.
But they still went forward with it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think for Jamie and Claire, they're kind of seeing big picture. And obviously, they're really the only ones who know. I mean, Murtaugh kind of knows that something's going on, but obviously doesn't know the whole situation. So they're really the only ones that kind of see this, like, okay, Louise can suffer from this and all these people can suffer from this, but it's for, you know, a bigger picture, a better cause. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, as audience members watching it, when I was seeing that they were going to out Louise with her pregnancy, you know, I'm like, oh my God, like I felt for Louise, like, oh, I can't even imagine being in that situation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because they put Claire and Jamie in kind of this like, well, they're kind of like, you know,
spies.
Yeah, but
espionage.
But to try to do something that's going to better the lives of people down the line, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's like it's this weird mix of like you're feeling for people, but you're like, I understand why people are doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like right off the bat, like we said, this whole season is like all these kind of like manipulations, and you know, we're seeing that every episode.
Very French style. I'm a big Francophile, so when I talk crap about the French, it's not out of like hatred, it's out of straight love,
because
I think the French are awesome and their lifestyles are amazing. But so just to see them kind of do that, it kind of reminded me of, oh no, I'm blanking, the movie with Benedict Cumberbatch where he makes that massive computer during World War II. The the Imitation Game. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Imitation Game or you don't know the actual true story, I would say don't listen for the next 10 seconds. they finally break the code and they discover that they can go and break down the Nazis' messages. Mm. But they don't use it at one point to save the brother of someone who's a part of the team, because if they do that, then the Nazis will know they have the code. And so it's kind of like thinking the bigger picture. Mm. How many people do we have to let die, or how many people do we have to kind of let their lives be worse than they should at this moment in order to win the war overall? And that's kind of how I feel like Claire and Jamie are playing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, yeah, at this moment we're kind of exposing Louise's story, or we're exposing her pregnancy. But I also feel like they didn't do it before getting confirmation that, one, Louise was keeping the child, and two, she'd already told her husband.
So that's true.
Just that one snip of a scene of her leaning over and telling Claire that she told him, I think that made it a lot easier for them to be like, okay, it's a go, let's do this, than if they just announced it. Because that would have been even worse.
Oh,
if they announced it, and he's like...
He's like, what?
What are you talking about? I'm not having sex with you.
Yeah.
So... kudos to them for at least being somewhat tactful with it, and having Jamie do it as well.
Right.
So that it doesn't sound like Claire's just like gossiping, something where she could excuse it being like, well, this is something they probably exchanged between husband and wife, and Jamie not realizing that it wasn't a bigger story said it.
Right.
Like, smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. But I liked how they did that. I thought that was good. And I think it keeps the two characters of Jamie and Claire kind of like not just seen as like these people that are trying to like wreck lives. Yeah. You know, it still kind of shows them as like, yeah, they're doing these things that will hurt people, but they're trying to do it in the best way possible.
Yeah, I guess. Which is sometimes the best you can do.
Yeah.
But speaking before we jump into the Murtaugh and then the Mary storyline, mm-hmm. you wanted to give a shout out to Mr. Sam. I always forget how to say his last name.
We're just going to call him Sam because it was his birthday yesterday.
Mr. Jamie Fraser.
Happy birthday. Happy belated to our very own Jamie Fraser. We hope you had an awesome birthday.
Fellow Taurus.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Why you're so gorgeous.
I know.
We're gorgeous too.
Yes, yes.
We're both Taurians. So, and on that note, Murtaugh didn't have much to do until the very end. Still didn't have a ton to do, but I really liked the banter when Claire gets called away and she has to go to the hospital to help. Mm. And Murtaugh and the boy whose name
Fergus
are waiting outside for her.
Yeah.
And Fergus just comes at him with some real truth.
I know. Well, and one thing I noticed about their conversation is Murtaugh said, you know, real men don't concern themselves with women's affairs or something when Fergus is talking about how Mary and how she's, you know, in love with somebody he thinks
she
or whatever.
Yeah, she's sad but happy.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that kind of shows like the times, you know, mm-hmm. where Murtaugh just kind of said that to Fergus, like, don't worry about women. Yeah.
We're still there.
We're still in the time. Mm. Yeah.
But what he says in response, Fergus says that what he says exactly was like, oh, that's why you'll die.
Oh, yeah. Alone with your hand.
And I was like, yes.
Get him, Fergus.
You little boy. You know. The French. it was great to see you. Fergus just kind of school Murtaugh. I'm like, you should treat a woman better than that.
I know.
And be more, I guess, I can't think of the exact word, but just like notice. Like her moods and being able to kind of pick up on like what she's feeling and all the kind of stuff. Like that's an actual quality you should have as a man.
Right.
Straight to the camera as a man. It's a strong quality.
Yes.
With that, I think, what do you think about their carriage having the wheel? Do you think that was sabotage?
I think so. And I'm thinking about Saint Germain. When Claire showed up, just, you know, kind of going along with the carriage line, when Claire showed up to the dinner, he seemed surprised. So I'm wondering, was it because of the attack that happened? Because she suspected him of being involved in the attack. Yeah. So was sabotaging the carriage part of the attack because they knew that she would have to walk home? Or was he shocked because it's like, oh, I gave her that poison in her tea. She should be dead. So I was confused at that point. I don't know.
I thought it might have been more so, well, no, she's been out since. It could have been because of the attack. I thought it might have been because of the poison. But looking back now, like a day or so has passed since she was poisoned.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
Well, and with the attack, when it was happening, they showed a close-up on one of the hands of the attacker.
Yeah, he had a birthmark.
He had a birthmark. Mm-hmm. So that's going to come up. I think that was foreshadowing in a couple episodes, whatever, when that's going to happen. So it's going to come out, and I feel like it's probably going to be somebody that's with Saint Germain, somebody that's talking to him or whatever, and Claire's going to see that birthmark, and then that's going to come out. Yeah. So, but I feel like he was behind it. But then the attackers, once they realized that it was Claire, they like ran off.
La Dame Blanche.
Mm-hmm. So
white lady.
Yeah, the white lady. So is that something then that Saint Germain didn't tell the attackers who they were attacking? He just said the people whose carriage that is, or you know that. So that was very confusing to me because it seemed like they didn't know who they were attacking, and then once they realized, they were like out.
It seemed a bit odd because it also seemed like they immediately attacked Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was pretty quick that she was being raped. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Claire, it didn't seem like she was putting up any more of a fight than Mary, but I don't know what was going on. That seemed a little bit odd in terms of why they immediately went to Mary. So it might have been an attack on her as well as not just Claire, which may mean that it's not Saint Germain. It might be something to do with Randall. I don't know.
That's one thing I thought of too when it said the scene. They showed a little bit of scenes of what happens next week, mm-hmm. and one woman says to Claire something like, "Oh, this dashing gentleman seems to be like fixated on you, or look, they're outside, and so somebody's looking at her." Yeah. So originally, I thought, "Okay, is that Black Jack?" And he's here and he's watching her. So did he have something to do with the attack because he knew his brother was courting Mary because they have these letters back and forth, and maybe Black Jack is trying to intervene. Yeah. So maybe he had something to do with it.
And also, there was a guy that looked kind of like Black Jack in that group when because they had the cover and they had the long hair, and I was like, is that Captain Jack?
Yeah.
But with that, there was the whole thing that came up after when they were able to escape after they freaked out because they thought she was a witch. You know, sure. If that's a spoiler for anyone, I mean, I think they kind of alluded to the fact that they thought she was a witch. That's La Dame Blanche is a French term for like a sorceress. But maybe I did spoil it. I'm sorry. But when they get there, I love that Jamie officially gives no fucks about the party anymore once he sees Mary.
Right.
And just wants to go, let's go get them. Yeah. I don't care. And Claire has to kind of hold him back and be like, well, this is actually really important and we will find these men, but right now we actually do have to focus on this. Because Jamie's just such like on his way to being a feminist. I don't care about this party anymore. Like, let's go get... He's not completely there. But, like, he's just on his way, which is... It was great to see, like, just how he negotiates being of his time and also Claire being of a different time. Mm-hmm. And so when they're sitting there and he has to explain to her, like, no one can know she's been raped. Mm-hmm. If it's found out that she's been raped, then she'll be a spinster for the rest of her life. Which is just...
Awful
and heartbreaking, and still, like, unfortunately, a very present thing in certain parts of the world, you know. So to have that also made me kind of think that it might have something to do with Captain Jack if she is now considered low quality. And Alex is not regal, he's an assistant, then, in some weird way, that might make her more accessible or marriage potential for Alex or even Jack than the man she was previously engaged to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think that kind of alludes to the fact that maybe Black Jack did have something to do with it, just because I completely agree with what you're saying. And just going back real quick to Jamie kind of like jumping in to things. That's, you know, his character, I feel like, is always kind of there to do the right thing when those circumstances are kind of presented to him, you know? And that's why I think that this is definitely going to come up again, other than the foreshadowing of, like, the birthmark on the hand.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact that Jamie was like, this isn't over, you know? Like, we're going to go find those guys. So that's definitely going to come out. And I wonder if, you know, who's going to find them and what's going to happen, because Jamie obviously is not letting this one go, you know, rightfully so.
Exactly. And as a man who is also a rape survivor, you know, that kind of is layered in there as well.
He probably has more like of a motivation now just because he's experienced that he like knows what Mary is going to go through, you know, once she kind of wakes up, and obviously does, how she freaks out right off the bat, you know.
She's also tripping.
Yeah.
Which...
Oh, that's true. The hallucinations.
Poppy syrup. I was like, whoa, poppy syrup. Give the girl some heroin. Why don't you? When she wakes up and she sees Alex, and I couldn't imagine her. I'm so curious to see what they're going to do with her, because if in any way she feels like Alex was responsible, I'm sure she'll come to a clearer mind and understand like what's happened. But when everyone walks in and sees them wrestling, and just like there was a weird flash they did like with his leg and like Jamie viewing it.
Yeah.
And it kind of made it seem like he was like having like a PTSD flashback.
Yeah.
Which was but that was an interesting choice for them to do, to kind of have that kind of cut there real quick. And then for them immediately to start brawling.
Yeah.
Like, I also liked that they just kind of didn't take the time to explain to the fiance and the father, like, wait, calm down, everyone sit down. I feel like that would have been easier.
Yeah.
But the moment they swung a punch, it was just like Murtagh and Jamie were like, yes.
It went, yeah, they were like, let's finally, we've been waiting for this for so long.
Claire, like, threw some rope and was like, yeah. And I'm like, what? They, like, did clothesline.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They got it that way. They'll take him down anyway. Yeah, when Murtagh pulls a knife, you know, and Jamie has to, like, keep him from... Yeah, but it's, like, going back to it, like, that's the way they dealt with their problems in Scotland. They're you know, like, how many times did we see them, like, you know, brawl with somebody and then somebody ends up dead? It's like, oh, well, you know, too bad. Where here, obviously, it's kind of like they're trying to stop themselves from doing that. But I wonder, right out of that scene, Saint Germain leaves with the Duke of Sandringham.
He leaves with Prince Charles. The Duke of Sandringham just sees what's happening.
And he left
thinks
before.
It's funny and leaves.
That's right. That's right. So Saint Germain leaves with Prince Charles. Mm-hmm. So
what? And has his wife called the, or his woman, I don't know, call the police.
Yeah. So I wonder what's going to happen with that kind of...
the dynamic?
Yeah, but with two.
Well, Sandringham brought him in. I feel like the prince would be acquainted with the Comte. Like,
maybe.
He would have some type of relation.
I just feel like the Comte is so, you know, just extra deceiving of anybody. Yeah. So it's like, is he going to try to turn Prince Charles on Claire and Jamie because he has a thing, you know, out for Claire and Jamie. So is he going to try to, I mean, I don't know.
Well, they seemed familiar with each other already.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem like how he operates. He seems to be more like mafia style where it's not, he doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants to be about it. So it's just like, I'm not going to discuss. I'm not going to, like, give them a poor name or anything like that. I just want these people dead.
Gone. Yeah.
And that's really sad because if you think about it, it wasn't like he lost that much in that fire. I'm sure it was a hit. But, you know, the next shot wasn't him, like, being a pauper asking for change. So I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, the morality of it, or the principle. The principle of the situation is that now he must kill these people, or she must die.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Jamie. And I think he hasn't done anything directly to Jamie.
No. I think Jamie's just going to get caught in the crossfire. You know, obviously, like, if he's trying to kill Claire, obviously that's going to, you know, affect Jamie. But, I think he's putting all of his energy towards Claire and ending. You know, we saw just this episode, a couple things that went on in just one episode of him trying to get Claire, you know, to go to the extent of trying to kill her. So,
kudos to Claire in the dinner scene where she's wearing the poison detector and he comments on
it. And he knows about it.
Yeah. And she, because not everyone has that necklace, but he knows. Mm-hmm. And she, when she's drinking the wine and he says something like, do we have reason to worry about your food? And she's like, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
It's like,
puts a seed of doubt in his mind.
Like, I'm not afraid to kill you either.
Yeah. So watch your back. But then it's like, he obviously knew about that from Master Raymond, right? And we saw maybe it was last episode or a couple episodes before, how he and Master Raymond were like talking, you know, and Master Raymond at first was like, oh, I'm against this guy. But then he said, you know, I got to keep my friends close and my enemies closer. So it's like, how does Saint Germain know about this magical necklace?
Well, I think the stone is something it seems like Germain has, well, it seems like most people just don't randomly go to see Master Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
I think Germain has some knowledge of science or the magic or whatever they want to call it, of just the overall apothecary or that world.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like he's wouldn't be aware of it more so than anyone else.
Right, right. I can understand that because he's been there and talks to him. But then even Master Raymond said that when they came to get the Bitter Cascara, I think, he sent a servant who he hadn't recognized. So it's like, now I'm wondering, with all the deceiving that goes on in the show, how much time is the saint spending with Master Raymond, you know? I don't know. And maybe that's something that's... I think Master Raymond has good intentions towards Claire. Yeah. I think he's somebody that's, like, a friend. So I don't think he's trying to, like, set her up. But I just feel like Saint Germain has his hands a little bit deeper in the situations than I originally thought he did. You know, it seems like he's definitely kind of, like, more involved than I thought initially. I think that's just going to kind of get deeper and deeper as the show goes on.
Well, he has a lot of money and a lot of power, and there hasn't been a discussion yet of what his goods are.
Right.
So that's something to think about as well. Like, well, what does he sell?
Yeah.
I don't think he's necessarily, like, being taught anything by Master Raymond, but I think he has a knowledge of how that world works.
Right.
And I think anyone who was attempting to buy Bitter Cascara would be frowned upon because it is poison and you're not supposed to intentionally kill anyone in France. Like, they don't want you to duel. They certainly don't want you to poison. So that makes sense that he would send someone else to go get it.
Yeah.
Someone who, if they were caught with it, their life wouldn't be a big deal to him.
Right. They're disposable.
They're disposable.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was funny, just that dinner scene. I watched, they do this, I don't know if they do this on, like, the regular shows, but I told you I watch it on Prime.
Yeah,
is how I watch the show. And they, at the end, they do this kind of, like, behind the scenes of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they mention at the dinner party, the set designers and the costume designers, when they were deciding how many people were going to be at the table, they said the table sat, like, 16 people, but the women's dresses are 3 feet,
whoa,
like, wide.
Yeah.
So there were more men than women at the table just because they couldn't fit as many women in there. But one thing they did mention is that they had to sit Claire and Saint Germain right next to each other is one thing that they definitely wanted to portray in that scene for them to kind of, like, have that interaction.
That face off.
So I thought that was interesting that, you know, it's not just, like, the storyline or the plot line. It's, like, where these characters are, like, sat next to each other at, like, this dinner party that kind of, like, enables the story to keep going.
Yeah.
So I thought that was something that was kind of interesting to kind of see behind the scenes how much goes, you know, how much thought goes into that.
Yeah. So. Oh, they're so savvy.
Yeah.
So smart. But with that, did you want to go into predictions?
Sure.
All right.
Prediction time.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I always feel like there should be, like, beads shaking as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, the whole thing should start shaking. I don't know. I could do that. But I'm not going to do that. So what do you think?
Okay, so next episode, we see Claire with this woman who says there's a dashing man that is kind of, like, keeps looking at you or something along those lines. So I feel like I want to say it's Blackjack Randall, but I feel like it's too soon for that to happen. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it is. That's something that I'm a little, I'm not sure on.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be definitely somebody that is going to spark some sort of interest with Claire and their storyline. And also we see Jamie at the very end says something along the lines to Claire of, like, it's either him or me when she's talking about Frank. Because obviously she says something along the lines of, like, I have this letter and it could determine Frank's existence or not. So we're kind of seeing this, you know, is she going to deliver the letter about, I'm assuming it's about Mary and Black Jack to ensure that Frank's alive, or is she going to stop that? I don't know. So something's going to come up with, like, a Frank, either Frank or Jamie type situation.
Well, I mean, can't Jamie just wait, like, a year?
I know.
Like, you can wait a year for vengeance. Long con. I definitely think that I didn't get to see the preview, so I'm not sure. But I think the reintroduction of Captain Jack is going to come sooner than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be already in cahoots with Comte if he's... Because Jack, strangely, has feelers like the Comte does.
Yeah.
So he might already know that there's, like, tension between him and Claire. And he might come for that. But what I find to be interesting as well is that the Comte is coming for Claire. Jack is coming for Jamie. Like, Jack doesn't really care about Claire.
Right.
But he does care about Jamie. So they both have now two villains who are very determined to come for them specifically and no one else.
Right.
I think we're definitely going to have to address Mary and what that means for her emotionally, what it means for her societally. It's like if she's all of a sudden going to be disowned in some way and how that's going to play into her relationship with Alex, which will then play into her relationship with Jack.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm feeling they'll go next episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be very surprised if they didn't address Mary at all.
But. Yeah, no, I definitely think they will, especially since there was kind of this question of, is it Alex, you know, that everybody thought it was Alex, aside from Jamie and Claire, who mm-hmm. knew what happened. But yeah, I think it's going to kind of come down to what people think and what they allow people to know, you know? Is Alex going to get kind of pinned for this? Is somebody going to kind of twist it that way? So, yeah.
There could also be the possibility that Mary actually does have a child with Alex, but Alex dies, and therefore Captain Jack marries Mary. Yeah. And they assume, that would be amazing, they assume that her child is Captain Jack's.
Yeah.
Because then they could technically kill Jack.
And
Frank would still be okay in the future. Don't spoil it if you read the book. I don't want to know.
But, yeah.
But, all right. I think that about wraps us up for this week of Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz. Thank you all so much for tuning in. As always, please rate, subscribe, comment on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Well, maybe not Instagram, but you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at MLE Beth and Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
All right, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.